So I like to say that, you know, they keep telling you the more that you do this, the easier it gets. And I'm just going to say, this time is just not that time yet. I'm hoping that it does eventually, but it just doesn't seem like it is right now. So please bear with me. When Kirk asked me to preach this about a month ago, the Lord has already been giving me something and working on in my heart. And I said, sure, I have something. But it's one of those subjects that are not always an easy subject, right? But before we get started, let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for you dying for us, Lord, and loving us. Lord, I just pray as these things that you've been working on in my own heart, Lord, and how you've been giving this to me to share, I just pray that you would just open up the hearts, be that sword that pierces all the way to the bone, that it would be able to expose, not in a bad way, but for growth, to be able to be built up, to be able to be stronger, to be able to be effective in your kingdom. I pray that you would just let the words that you have go through me, even though I'm a weak vessel, that your strength be shown through me in your words, and it would build up this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the topic is dying to self. So if I was to write a book about it, dying to self, do you think it would sell very many copies? Probably not, right? But if I wrote a book saying how to receive your blessings from God, that one people would want to buy, right? But guess what the first chapter in that book would be? Dying to yourself. So just to give some context there. So it's not always an easy thing because, you know, we like ourselves. That's why one of the commandments says love others as yourself, right? So the verse that I have up there, it says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So when we look at that word cross, this was coming to me this morning as I was reviewing this. The Lord brought this to my mind is, what is the definition of the cross? So when you look in Google and it gives a definition, we know how Kirk says that has to be accurate, right? If it's in on the web there. It says, the definition of cross is a mark, an object, or a figure formed by two short intersecting lines or pieces. So when you just think about this part of it, intersecting lines, right? What happens when you come to an intersection? What do you have to do? You have to look both ways and you got to make a choice, right? Which way do you go? So the cross in itself is an intersection in your life. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to go the way of your own self? Or are you going to go the way of dying to yourself and following him? Another part of it, it says, it's an upright post with a transverse bar as used in antiquity for crucifixion. When you look at that word crucifixion, that doesn't sound very fun. So I looked up. Here are some facts about Roman crucifixion, because at that time, this is what they were referring to, because this was what the Romans occupied them, and this was a way of punishment, right? So the purpose of a crucifixion was a public execution method used to punish slaves, disgrace soldiers, foreigners, and Christians. When you think about that, it says public. It's out there in the open, right? So this means it's very, you know, there's no hiding. It is very public. It's right out there. The methods, victims were stripped naked and displayed publicly while they were tortured to death. So I like to focus on that stripped naked. So what that means is there's nothing there to cover you. So when you think about dying to yourself, you're publicly crucifying yourself and stripping yourself naked of yourself. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then the pain, crucifixion was a gruesome and humiliating way to die. The nails in the wrist could pierce the main nerve in the arm. So when you think about that part of it alone, because when we die to ourselves, is it fun? No, it's going to hit that nerve, right? Because that's what he wants. He wants us He wants our heart. And if we are holding on to ourselves, we're not going to be able to die. So he is going to go for that, say, nerve. Because he wants all of you, not just part of you. So if we go to Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, we know that our old self, this was before we accepted Jesus, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. I mean, that's pretty clear there. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. So the whole reason Jesus came to die on the cross is to have a relationship with us, but he wants to break that bondage to sin. He wants to set us free from it. And he's wanting us to make ourselves a living sacrifice to God and pairing ourselves with him. And when I say pairing, I mean like how he died. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. He wants us to die to ourselves. Because this is the only way it's going to be pleasing to God, is by dying to ourselves and serving him. He wants us to totally surrender our hearts. If you go to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty for people who will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy." So when we look at this last days, let's think about the times that we're in now. When it says, I have underlined there, lovers of self. When we look at lovers of self, let's look at some of the things that we have. It's my body, right? It's my choice. It's what I want to be, not who you say I am or some creator says who I am. I want to be identified as who I want to be. How about from the day it was MySpace, right? Now it's Facebook. Do you see how these things, Snapchat, you take a picture of yourself and you send it off. Now, I'm not very familiar, so if I'm getting some of these a little miscued, you know, please forgive me, but I've just heard a lot of these things. And when I listen to them, what does that make it sound like? It's all about a self-focus, right? When you look out into the world that we see out there, it's very isolating and more brought to self-centered. So when we look at that generation, we can very well say, hey, we could be in that generation just by the things of today. So point one, what is the old self? What is the old man? Let's try to see what that is. So in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So what that is saying there is you can say the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit. How many times have you been out there and you are talking about God and somebody looks at you like you're weird? Or they don't understand what you're saying. Or when you ask them about Christianity or God, they have a very negative view because they don't understand it. But let's look at the Amplified here. It says, "But the natural, which is the unbelieving, man does not accept the things," which is the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, "for they are foolish, absurd, and illogical to him. And he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated. And he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters." So there's definitely a disconnect there, right? So as we move on here, the next one, it says, "The old man lives by the flesh." So what is that? In Matthew 15, 18 through 20, it says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart." And this speaks volumes right there. Because in my line of work, as you interview people and as you manage people, people will tell you what you want to hear as often as you want to hear it and as long as you want to hear it. But you can't go by that. You go by their actions, because their actions are coming from their heart. And that's basically what this is saying. Their actions will prove who they are. lost my place here. So when you think about this, this is saying that what's in here is coming out. So the Lord is wanting to deal with your heart. And the reason is this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Now that part there, I just finished out the verse, but we're really looking at, I mean, this they were talking about, they were worried about how you washed your hands, making you unclean, but really it's the heart that does. So the next verse there, 1 Corinthians 3:3, says, "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" And I know there's some women saying, yes, that's why I keep telling my husband. Right? But when you talk about men here, as they say men, women also came from man, so it's grouped together. It's not just man, it's man and woman. Because what's happening is we are carnal, and we have to die to that. And it's very easy, at least as I've seen in my lifetime, to fall into that not dying to yourself, into that old carnal man that I am battling and dying daily. Because what happens is when we come into situations, say somebody wrongs you, is it not easy to get an offense, to want to do wrong back to them? I mean, it's very, very easy. I had a situation at work where I'm going around doing my job, and I stopped and I talked to somebody who wasn't wearing their PPE, which is personal protective equipment. And I said, hey, you need to have this on because it's for your safety and it's going to keep you safe. And the person really got rude and belligerent with me, to be honest with you. Now, I had the right and the ability to be able to discipline that person and send them home. But I didn't do it. They after they said their piece, they did put it on. And as I was walking away, the battle that was going on in my heart was, I was angry. I'll just be honest with you. I wanted to write them up. I wanted to write them right out of the building. I mean, because it just wasn't right. I didn't do anything wrong. I was doing exactly what I was told to do, and I did not deserve to be treated that way. But as I was taking the walk around the building, and it's a big building, the things that I've read in the Bible started dealing with my heart, and I started thinking, man, this is not good where you're at in your heart, George, because this is not what the Lord teaches you. So I had to die to that. And dying to that, I started thinking about, what was this conversation? How did it go so wrong? And then part of the words I heard, it was a hot day in July, and the guy was hot, and he had no fan. So I thought, what can I do? I said, well, we got a big 3-foot floor fan in maintenance. I'm going to walk back there. I'm going to grab it. I'm going to pull it out there. I'm going to plug it in, and I'm going to turn it on him. And I'm not doing it despite him, but I'm doing it because that's the right thing to do. And that's what I did. Now, there was no words exchanged between me and this gentleman, and I walked away. I never said a word to anybody else. He actually went to his boss and confessed his own sin to his own boss and said, hey, I messed up today. I didn't have to say anything. Then his boss called me, and I said I wasn't going to say anything. Now, you can say, well, that's not having any discipline structure in that facility. It's going to let people run wild, but it's not. Because he did put his PPE on. But sometimes we have to be able to step back from our own self and die to ourselves and say, what is the right thing? 3 months later, that guy and I were on a trip, on a business trip, and we had to go. So what happens if I would have ruined that relationship right there? What kind of situation that would have been? Not very good. How could I be, as a Christian, be able to witness to this person? How could I be able to talk to this person? Which I did back in the beginning. This guy, when he first came here, he was not here even a year where I worked. And he was going through a divorce, and I asked him if I could pray for him, and he rejected it. But to keep the story going so I can move on. So this was in July. By December, the guy passed away. Now just think about that situation, how it could have gone so wrong, and I could have walked away. But come December, how would I have felt? I would have said, man, I didn't do a very good testimony for you, Lord. Sometimes we have to die to ourselves. And it can be in many forms or fashions, right? Sometimes it's, Lord, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. Maybe it's strife. Maybe it's conflict. And we think that we have this right. You don't know what they've done to me. Can't you see? I did nothing wrong. But didn't Jesus do nothing wrong? And how much did we do wrong? So, as we move on here, Mark 7, 21 through 23. For from within our own heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So I wanted to add more things there because it's easy to say, well, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. And we need to really look deep into ourselves and say, and ask the Lord to basically show us our heart. Because what is those things that we are doing that are sins? Is it telling a little white lie? Is it something that is in your heart that you say, I really just don't care for that person because I don't like how they treat me or how they act? You know, you can put a scale, and we normally do as people, of what is severe and what is not. But in the Lord's eyes, it's all severe because it's dealing with the heart. And he wants you to die to yourself and to serve him. Make him Lord of your life. When we look at Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? So it's easy for us to say, I'm a good person. I don't do things wrong. But here's the word. It says, deceitful above all things. Desperately sick. When you think about that, man, that's pretty rough. This is what we have to deal with. And he knew it. That's why Jesus came. So point two, why do we need to die to ourselves? Well, in Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is one of the things right here, is because he died for us. Now we need to live for him. We need to die to ourselves to live for him. In John 12, 24 through 26, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever lives in life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor me. So when we look at this, let's look at that. The key to life is what? Dying. So the quality of our life in Christ depends on our quality of dying to ourselves. If we want to hold on to stuff, then how well do you think that quality of life in Christ is going to be? Do you hear what I'm saying? So we must learn how to die to ourselves in order to have that good quality, to receive those blessings that we all want. When we started this, we are like, yeah, we want that book of blessings. To get it, we have to learn how to die to ourselves, because the quality of dying is going to correlate with the life of dying is going to correlate with our life in Christ. And I have a story for this one as well. Is I had a dream roughly about a year ago. I had three of them in a row, and they all pertained to me in a work environment. And all these dreams were the same thing, that the enemy was closing in, which was demonic and the devil. And there were people in that place that were going to be destroyed. And the outcome was I was the only one that saw it coming. And I had to get him to safety. The one in particular rung a bell here just recently. And the reason it was, because I kind of forgot about it, is I was in this room, and in the dream it was all glass on both sides. Very vulnerable, right? No protection. And it was dark all around, and it was raining. And the enemy was coming, and we had to get out of there. And we didn't have much time, and I was the only one that had a weapon. The rest did not. And I was able to get them out just in time before it was too late. And as we were on the vehicle leaving, they were coming out the door, the enemy. Well, here at work, they've been doing, they call it a panel discussion, where they're developing new leaders and leadership and trying to decide or try to help them in how to handle situations at work. Well, in this discussion panel, they take the leaders of the facility and they ask them questions on how do you handle these situations. Well, just prior to this happening, the Lord gave me some things to say. Some things that happened at work and how they tie directly to the Bible. So here, it comes to this thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, even though I believe in Christ, it's not an easy situation when you're in a work environment that's not curtailed to Christian, right? And you have to say something like this. You don't have the relationships with the people to where they can be able to, you know, you can converse. Well, what happened is I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to die to myself here because it's feeling uncomfortable. I don't know how well this is going to be received and how well it's going to go over. But you're bringing it to me, so I'm going to take it. So that discussion panel came, and as it came to mind, I said, Lord, you're going to have to bring the questions up that I can be able to use them. And as he did, the first question that came up fit right into this first story. I picked up my Bible, and I opened it up, and I said, here, since you're asking me, let me read this book here is the Bible. And I said, this is where I get all of my information on how to deal with people and situations. I said, there's not one situation out in the world that's not in this book that you will teach you how to deal with it. And I read out of the Word. I did it three different times. There was three different questions I was able to read out of the Word, which were the three that he gave me, and was very impactful. I had another manager next to me, which was the shipping receiving, and he's a Baptist preacher, and he never opened up the book. He didn't bring the Bible with him, but he looked at me and said, hey, that's pretty good. I should be doing that too. Because that's how intimidating it can be. But let me tell you, I died to myself, right? I died to the understanding of what of my peers and subordinates and superiors, how they're going to look at me, how they're going to treat me, Are they just going to say, that's a weird guy? But I thought, you know what? I got to do it because he's asked me to. And a little over a week later, the general manager is having a, so to speak, come to Jesus meeting with some of the managers. And guess what they did? They wrote up on the whiteboard, joy. What does joy spell? Anybody know what the acronym joy is for? Jesus, others, and yourself. Think about that. So something had to die so something can grow. So I died to myself and opened up the door to a pastor being able to see that he can use the word of God at work, and that a general manager who believes as well can start talking about some of this stuff. You think about that. All that is just Jesus working. Amen. And it starts with dying. It wasn't easy, but it was good, and I had to do it. There was actually, in that session, there was one of the managers that said, hey, there's not a book out there for everything, and I picked up mine. I said, oh, yes, there is. I interrupted him and said, yes, there is. It's right here. Everybody got a good chuckle out of it, but I wanted to make sure that they understood the truth. Make sure where I'm at. So I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So John 12, 24 and 26. We already read that one. So we're down in Romans. Sorry. Romans 12, verses 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let's look at that word acceptable. Do you think that's a word saying that's a you're doing awesome? If I turn in a report to my boss and my boss said, hey, this is acceptable, how would you take it? Ted, how would you take it? Right, meh. So when you think of that word acceptable, that does not mean it's even. It does not mean it's equal. It just means meh. Right? So when you think about dying and making yourself a living sacrifice, it's like, meh, to him, because he did nothing wrong. So we need to understand that this is our spiritual worship. Whenever you read in Revelations or you think about heaven, what's the first thing that you think they're going to be doing up there? Worshiping him, right? That's what it talks about. Everybody falling down and worshiping him. So when you think about spiritual worship, you can see that this is happening a lot in heaven. And what it is a living sacrifice. That's what it is. And that comes by dying to yourself and then living towards him. So, point three, how do we strengthen the spiritual man? Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. All these things will be added to you. So it says, seek first the kingdom of God. How would we seek first the kingdom of God? Here's one, right? You open up this thing. Start reading it. Can you read that? Can you read the Bible too much? Right. Because every time you open it up, it could teach you something new. And that's like what I was saying. It has the answers to everything. And it's a mystery. It's like that treasure buried in a field that you have to go dig for it. It's not going to just say, here I am. He wants stake in the game. He wants you to be a living sacrifice. That means you're doing things. That means you're not prostrate. So you got to be engaged in it. What's other ways? Spending time in prayer, right? Praying and seeking what he has for you. Whew. It says right here, Ephesians 5:17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's by seeking his word and spending time in reading. This is how you're going to strengthen that spiritual man. So when you look at the old man and the spiritual man, if you want to kill the old man, how do you do it? You don't feed him, right? So what are foods that you would feed the old man? Doing things that you like to do, like whatever it is, the love of money. I mean, you put whatever it is in your heart in that gap. Feeding the spiritual man, when you think if you wanted to strengthen that, what would that be? Reading the Bible, praying, spending time, right, with him, doing his work, finding his will. If you want to strengthen that spiritual man, that's the things you have to do. If you want to kill that old man, then you're going to say, well, this is really the thing that I'd like to do. And I'm really, you know, and you see it's in that list of things. You're not going to want to do it, because if you start doing those things, like somebody offends you and you get upset and hurt feelings and you don't make it right, you're feeding that old man. And if you continue to feed him, what's going to happen? You're going to have a struggle, right? So if you're feeding this guy, the old man, and you're not feeding the spiritual man, who's going to win in a fight? And by no means am I trying to say these things to condemn anybody or not. I'm not a person of judgment. I struggle with things just like anybody else does. But we need to hear these things and be reminded of them, right? So Nehemiah 8:10, and I'm reading now the Amplified Bible Classic Edition here. But to give you a little bit of context, this was Ezra reading from the Law of Moses, all right, to the children of Israel. And the reason he was reading it is because they were letting them know so they can understand. Then Ezra told them, go your own way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, and send portions for him whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. And be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. So we know the Ten Commandments and what they say. So what he saw on their faces, this grieving and depression, because they saw how hard it was. Because who can do it? But when we are dying to ourselves to walk this way, we are not to be grieved and depressed. We need to have joy. So that's why I can be excited about my failure in that moment, to where even though it wasn't outwardly, it was inwardly, but I was able to overcome it and die to myself at that time. Because if I live in this joy, he will give me strength and a stronghold. So that way my spiritual man not only is strong, but he has a barrier that the old man has to be able to break down, and the enemy can't get to him as easily, right? The battle is easier. So when we look at this, it's very easy, at least for as I've walked through my life. I don't know about, some may conquer this better than others, but as things come up, our struggle with it, and how does it make it feel? There was times in my life where I've been depressed, and I'm not normally a depressed person, but life just was that hard. It was just a struggle. And I'm going to tell you, I was depressed, but that's not where the Lord wants me. He does not want me to be grieved and depressed. He wants me to die to myself and find joy in him and what he's done. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes in all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And that part there, it says it does not, I underlined it, it does not insist on its own way. I've been in arguments with Jen, and I've insisted on my own way. I'm going to tell you, it did no favors for my marriage. I mean, I'm just being honest. So I wasn't walking in love at that time. I wasn't dying to myself. So if I want to strengthen that spiritual man and kill that old man, I'm not going to insist on my own way. And then Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So when we're looking at that old man and all those things, we need to throw them off because it's going to hinder us. It's going to keep us from getting to where we need to be. And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to run that race marked out for me. Because when I stand there, I want it to be more than just acceptable. Because I don't want to, hey, George, you made it. Eh. I was worried there for a while, right? And the thing here, Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. When you think about that, we can try to die to ourselves. But if we're not hanging around the right people, and you're struggling in an area, you're not going to be able to die to yourself. It's going to be hard. So we have to think about those things. I mean, that's why you have the fellowship of church. Is so that way when you come here, it's not a thing just to do. It's for the building and the equipping. To be able to hear the word. Hear how the Lord is dealing with somebody so you can see how it impacts you. How it applies to you. And how that you can surround yourself with people that have the same heart. That can help you through those times. And it's not easy sometimes, especially to share your vulnerabilities. When you go to a marriage ministry or retreat, just give an example, and you're sitting there and there's other couples in there, and as they're going through the thing, no one wants to say anything. And you ask yourself why. They thought it was important to come here because they sacrifice time and money to get here. But yet they come here and they say nothing. How much do you think that's going to grow? Sometimes we have to be vulnerable with ourselves. And we have to say where we're at so that somebody can help us. Now I'm not just saying go tell everybody. But when you have other people that are walking the same road with you, they're in a marriage with you. They're there looking to strengthen or improve, right? Sometimes you have to be vulnerable. And picking those friends that are going to be there to help you. In closing, I wanted to leave a couple things. I just encourage everyone here to ask God, who knows the heart, to reveal the things of the heart that need changed for you. Because if you ask, he'll show you. And we should ask. Because we want to make sure that we're not just, meh, right? And I'm going to give you a few other verses here that you can look up on your own that talk about the heart. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Psalms 139:23. Proverbs 21:2. Jeremiah 20:12, Luke 16:15, Acts 1:24 and 1 Corinthians 3:20. Because there's not enough time here for me to go into in-depth on everything. So I'm just leaving you with a few nuggets that you can go home and open up the Word and start looking at it, digging into it, to be able to see what is the Lord trying to tell you about your heart, to reveal to you. And he's not doing it because he's wanting to punish you and say, see, you're not good. No, that's not his heart. His heart is he wants you to be in heaven, and he wants you to grow, and he wants you to be strong. So I just want to close in prayer. If anybody needs prayer for it, anything, just come up front. We'll pray with you. But Lord, I just want to thank you for your heart for us, Lord, that you came and died. Lord, I just want to thank you for my own personal life, that how even though I've failed countless times, that you've given me grace and you're helping me to learn how to die to myself. Lord, I just pray that you would help all of us to be able to search our hearts and ask you to search our hearts, because you're the only one who knows the heart, and help us to be able to die to ourselves, Lord, and grow to not just for a thing to do, but just because we want to be a living sacrifice to you. I just pray that you would just do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.